highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
Jesus goes on in verse 22 and he says, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Yes, the day of judgment. And Jesus had done these in Jewish cities, and he's saying these other, you know, Gentile cities, they responded, and they didn't even have half as much as you, or very little. And yet they did, and you didn't.
All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg.
When Jesus said that it would be more tolerable for certain cities in the day of judgment, he implied that there are, in fact, different degrees of judgment. Some will be punished more severely in the final judgment than others. God's judgment was fulfilled against these cities. Each one of them was destroyed long ago and has been desolate for generations upon generations. This is a good reminder that the Gospels are a true account of Jesus' life, but he did much more that was not included in the Gospel records. Now let's join Pastor Rob's teaching already in progress.
And a call to repentance. An accountability to the things which we've heard and seen, and how this ought to shape our own walk and the decisions that we make. It tells us in Luke chapter 12, it says, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to him and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And see, that's what he was saying to these cities. You've been given a lot of light. You have become very large sheep. I've given you so much, I've taught you, and now you're really large sheep, and you're even puffier because of your wool. Very large sheep. And I've given you much. But I expect something in return on that investment. I expect your own heart to respond to me in the positive, for it to produce faith in you. Because I not only spoke to you, but I verified it with mighty works. And why haven't you responded? There's something wrong when that happens. It's like a disease. And certainly sin is a disease. And then I began to think about our own country in America. Now, I'm going to say some things that may sound political, and I don't mean them to be, because I'm going to be as generic as I can be, but I'm going to be truthful with you. You know, we've been very blessed in America. The Word of God has been given free rein in this country for quite a long time. And only a few hundred years ago, in the church in America, we used to send out missionaries all over the world to evangelize a pagan world. But now we need missionaries from other countries to come and evangelize us. We need people from Africa to come over and tell us and to repent of our sin. And again, as I'm saying this, folks, I want you to understand, I'm not saying this directly to you specifically. Now, if the shoe fits, then I need to wear it, right? But I know that this message is not just going to hit some of us today, including myself. I had to live with this for a few days, and it's not pleasant. But I know that this message gets beyond the four walls of this church. But the church in America is not in a good place. But like Bethsaida and Capernaum, we've been given much. But there's some in the American church that are more content at playing church than actually being the church. There's a difference. We can go through the motions, or we can be the church. The church is a live organism. A church is one who gets its power from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. A church is one that is active in the community. A church is one that is helping to propagate the gospel message. Because that's the most important thing. That's our main commission. right? That's our commission. But we have, like the Jews in Israel during Jesus' time, we've deceived ourselves in thinking that, well, if I just go to church, then I've done my responsibility. I've done my thing. I put my money in the agape box and I'm all set then. I don't need to do anything else. But it's been said that with great privilege comes responsibility. We are a very blessed country. Wouldn't you agree? We really have been. And we have enjoyed and are enjoying what many Christians in other countries could only dream of. I'm going to share some things that are going to be a little pointed here this morning. And believe me, I was the first wounded in this. And I share these things not to make you feel guilty. I don't share these things to be critical. I share these things because I think it's necessary. I believe it's necessary. Not just for maybe some of us, maybe all of us, including myself, maybe none of us. I don't know. But many in the American church, we've become comfortable. We've become complacent. We no longer think it's necessary to read our Bibles every day. We pick it up once before, you know, while we're in church, and you know, but there's we no longer think it's necessary to read our Bibles and even to have a Bible study time several times during the week. However much time, a half hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, but we no longer think it's necessary that we pray every day and take part in even in community prayer meetings. Our prayer meetings on Tuesday night, you're all invited. Please come. There's no success without prayer. Everything falls apart if it's not bathed in prayer. The church itself will be unhealthy without prayer. The school that we're beginning, if that thing's not bathed in prayer, it's going to be a dismal failure. We must pray. But many in the church, and I'm not saying you specifically, but many, I'm thinking of America as well, okay? Many don't think it's even necessary to tithe or give our time serving in the church. We no longer tithe. We no longer give of our time, whether it's for people and families within the church serving one another or even outside of the church. You know, many people don't think it's even necessary. And certainly, many don't think it's necessary to really talk about Jesus, and especially not in public. You don't want to offend anybody. One English pastor said this. He says, there are countries in which people walk many miles to hear the gospel. And there are others in which even the church members are too busy to attend a service. When professing Christians value material things more than eternal verities, their faith becomes suspect. They are automobiles without an engine, boats without oars, bodies without life. And so I ask, where is the heart and soul of the American church in America in 2023? And again, not just us. Where is it? Where is our heart? Where do we go? What have we replaced Jesus Christ with? Have we replaced Jesus Christ with something else? Something more important? Maybe it's even family, and family is good. Family is wonderful, but your family can take away all of your time. Even good things, but there are better things. The better things. So the church, we need to turn from these things and repent and remember our first love. Just as these three cities had been given much and they had totally lost it, they missed it. And Jesus upbraided them for that because of their unbelief. There's a verse in a hymn that we do called Come Thou Fount, and the verse goes like this: prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. And see, that's what I need, and I know that's what you need as well. Will you return to Christ today if you've strayed from him in any way? And for those of you who have not received Christ, will today be the day that you receive him? Jesus goes on in verse 22 and he says, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Yes, the day of judgment. And Jesus had done these in Jewish cities, and he's saying these other, you know, Gentile cities, they responded and they didn't even have half as much as you or very little. And yet they did, and you didn't. This day of judgment, we know, is referring to the great, I'm sounding like Elmer Fudd here. I got to be careful with the levity, I'm going to ruin this whole thing. The great white throne judgment. We've been reading about it in Revelation 20, where the wicked dead will stand. That's what he's referring to here. And he says, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Sodom," yes, Sodom and Gomorrah, that horrible place back in Genesis 19. "If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." So it seems, you know, and that was a pretty wicked place, wasn't it? But God knows the hearts of all of us. He knows the hearts of America. He knows the hearts of the American church. He's the Father of spirits. He knows us. What does it say in Jeremiah 17, verse 9? "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's the question, and the answer comes right on it on verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart." Who can know it? Well, the Lord does. He knows our heart. He says he searches the heart to test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. In verse 24, back in our text, what does it say? "But I say unto you that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." And today, again, Capernaum is nothing but rubble along with Chorazin and Bethsaida. Rock heaps is a testimony. And no city or country or people can ignore and rebel against God and not expect a recompense or not to expect consequences. Because just as God has judged Capernaum and Chorazin, I believe that God is also judging our country. And you may not agree with me, and that's okay. Billy Graham, back in July of 19th of 2012, he wrote this article on his website, and it's called "My Heart Aches for America." And in it, he says, "Some years ago, my wife Ruth was reading the draft of a book I was writing, and when she finished a section describing the terrible downward spiral of our nation's moral standards and the idolatry of worshiping false gods such as technology and sex, she startled me by exclaiming, 'If God doesn't punish America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.'" It's not a popular thing to say. A lot of people think, well, God's going to judge America because of all these things that he's doing. No, I think the evidence of the things that are happening are his judgment. And what are some of those? You know, America, the abortion, untold millions of babies. Thank God that God threw us a bone and overturned Roe v. Wade on a federal level. Now the states are all battling, but at least on a federal level, we got that out of the way. But millions and millions and millions of babies have died. And do you think that we're under the judgment of God? I believe we are. And why? Because look at the signs all around us. Look at the things, the signposts all around us. Marijuana being legalized in many states. The LGBTQ movement infiltrating all of our schools, high schools, universities. Children are experimented on as they are given puberty blockers to change their genders. Parents are supporting the stuff. Some are even undergoing gender-altering operations. Men, I don't know if you knew this, but you can be pregnant. Men can be pregnant, women can become men, men can even now have menstrual cycles, and there's even feminine products in some of the bathrooms for you men who have those issues. Drag queens reading to our kids in the public libraries. Family-friendly drag shows are being hosted before children. The Satanic Church is hosting it after-school Satan clubs. Critical theory has infected our preschools, middle schools, high schools, universities. Enemies of America are buying, extorting, blackmailing members of Congress and local and federal agencies all over the country. A cabal of foreign and domestic players are destabilizing our families, our economy, our military, our energy independence, our national sovereignty, nearly every aspect of our culture. These same players are putting with large sums of money, putting people in positions of power. Our voting systems have become completely compromised. Our elected officials are no longer upholding the Constitution of the United States, but rather fighting against it. Many government law enforcement agencies are now aloof doing their own things. There's no longer impartial justice. Many, many other things. We are truly living in a time that God had prophesied through the prophet Isaiah. And what did he say? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And then down in verse 23, he says, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. See, this is where we are at. We are living in Isaiah 5. This is the time. The things that are supposed to be good, they're calling bad. The things that are bad, they're calling good. And they're promoting. Have you noticed that recently? Everything just seems to be upside down. It defies common sense. And there's a reason for all of that. And we better keep our eyes on the Word of God, because the deception is incredible. And folks, that is a judgment, I believe. God removing his hand from us. God removed his hand from Israel. Do you remember that before Jerusalem's destruction by the Babylonians in 586, God gave Ezekiel a vision of his presence departing from the Holy of Holies, which was in the temple, because of the continued rebellion and idolatry of those in Jerusalem. So the presence, or the Shekinah glory of God, what did it do? It rested over the mercy seat, over the Ark of the Covenant. But what does it tell us? It tells us in this vision where God is giving it to Ezekiel, it says, then the glory of God went up from the cherub. It went up from the cherub. It was over the Holy of Holies. So think of, from your perspective, here's the Temple Mount. In the Holy of Holies, the presence of God departed from over the top of that box and went to the threshold of the temple. That was phase one. Ezekiel 10 verse 18 says, then the glory of the, and there's a lot of stuff in between here, we don't have time to go through, but the glory of the Lord then departed from the threshold of the temple, and then it stood over the east gate of the house of the Lord. So it went from up from there to the threshold, now from the threshold all the way over to the east gate. And then in Ezekiel 11, it tells us that finally it just went over to the Mount of Olives, which Mount of Olives is over here and the Temple Mount's here. It went from above the mercy seat to the threshold to the eastern gate. And then from the eastern gate, it goes to the Mount of Olives and then gone forever. The presence of God. God says, you know what? If this is what you want, if this is what you want, Israel, if this is what you want, America, then you're on your own. Let's see what you got. But whenever God leaves, and this is not a popular message, we're not in a good place in our country. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to get really focused. We need to do that. And why did God do that? Because of sin and rebellion. And all that was left for Judah and Jerusalem was just judgment from the Babylonians that would follow. But during this vision, God also told them that he would be like a little sanctuary for them during their captivity in Babylon. He would restore them to their land, and he does tell them that. He tells them the bad news, right? With the bad news, and then there's some good news. This is what I'm doing, but by the way, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to cast you off forever. You're being chastened, but I'm going to be with you when you're in Babylon. I'm going to be like a little sanctuary to you. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you, but you've got to go through this because you have rebelled against me. And the church also we've got a lot to look forward to. You know, God made promises to Israel. He's made promises to us. Things are grim right now, but we're going to see the glory of the Lord. We're going to see the glory of the Lord at the rapture of the church. That's the first time. And then when we come back with him in the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth, in the millennium we call it, we're going to see a glorified Christ sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. And it gets even better than that, because what does it tell us in Revelation? Even after this current heavens and earth are passed away, what does it tell us? When the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem come down from earth, from heaven onto earth, it says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Remember Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you? I think that's the place. And he's going to bring it down with us. And we'll be there with him during that time. And it says that her, and he showed me on the high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. There it is. Her light was like a most precious stone. And it tells us in Revelation 22, and John says, but I saw no temple in the midst of it. In this new Jerusalem, there was no temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Because wherever there's a temple, there must needs be a sacrifice, right? That's what you do in a temple. You sacrifice. But guess what? The Lamb has already been sacrificed. There's no need for the temple any longer because he was sacrificed once and for all. So no temple needed. But notice, the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated. The Shekinah glory just filling. And think about that for your light. Our genie can't tap into that. So there is hope. What I've shared with you is pretty dismal. It's a reminder, it's true. But there is hope. And we have to be careful that we don't wallow in our self-pity and our defeatism, throw in the towel. You know, what can we do when everything seems to be falling apart all around us? What can we do when there is no justice? What can we do when we see the things foretold in Scripture coming into focus? Well, we do what Daniel did. Because remember, Daniel was also one of those who was taken captive into Babylon. And what did Daniel do? Did he sit outside the gates of Babylon and throw a tantrum and a pity party? No, he continued doing what he has always done. In fact, that's how his enemies ensnared him. He continued to pray. He continued to keep the main thing, and he continued doing it regardless of everything around him. He was like this sanctuary in the midst of hell. That's what it was. One man, and that could be one woman as well. It could be us in the midst of our hurricane, in the midst of troubles. Do we throw in the towel? Or do we continue to worship him and serve him regardless? See, this is what I believe we need to do as well. And be careful that you don't allow your hearts to be overcome with sorrow. Because I have at times. Sorrow and despondency, but rather press in now and continue. Press into Christ and continue what he has called us to do. And what has he called us to do? In Matthew, he gave us the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then Paul would tell us in Philippians, but one thing I do, this one thing I do in the midst of all this stuff, and believe me, he was going through persecution because he was in the first century where persecution was really hot. And what did he say in the midst of his crazy hurricane that was all around him? He says, one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are past. Are you still clinging to things from the past? Forget about those things. Cover it in the blood of Christ and move on. You're a new creature in Christ. Even as a Christian, have you made mistakes? Confess it and let it be done with. And don't look back there ever again. God's not going to. Why are you doing it? And you continue moving forward. You forget about those things. Do like what Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. It's not a downward call. It's an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? See, to me, there's bad news, but then there's good news. But we have to talk about the bad news. But there's good news for us.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more.
You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.